And if we can, for the reading of God's word, Matthew 25, verse 31. Okay. Now, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee and hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? And when saw we a stranger, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these brethren, ye have done it unto me. What a word.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the power of God that's found in his word. We thank you for the mercy and the grace of God that's found in his word. We thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Father God, we thank you for scriptures and Bible reading and Bible application. Father God, we ask that you bless this word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I'm looking at the qualities of the blessed, and I'm not gonna go through this whole verse, because I want to talk about what it means to be blessed. What it means to be blessed. And we've been teaching on this for the last 3 weeks on Sundays, and I taught on it on Wednesday night. There's an abuse of the word blessed. And we're all guilty of it. We all abuse the word. How you doing, blessed? How you doing, blessed? Ask me how I'm doing. I'm not going to say blessed. It's been difficult. Sometimes we need to say, when people ask me, how you doing? Well, it's been tough. But glory to God, I'm doing okay. Anyway, sometimes we can answer folks in a way that will empower them.
Amen.
See, sometimes people, we so flip it. How you doing, blessed? No, how you doing? Look, bro, going through, struggling with some things, dealing with some things, working on some things, and God is working on me. Sometimes that kind of answer. Folks ain't going to ask you how you doing anymore after you give them that answer. Some of them don't even have time. They don't even want to hear it. How you doing? They want you to say something jazzy. Too blessed to be stressed. No, you're not.
Amen.
Everybody in here stressed.
Amen.
Ain't no, there's not one person in here too blessed to be stressed. Okay? Here's the qualities of a blessed man. Now, Cindy didn't make it to Bible studies Wednesday night. And I told her, I said, you know, I know Cindy. Cindy liked Charlie Wilson. I said, you like Charlie Wilson's song? I said, you ever listen to it? You ever read it? And when we went through it, you know, we like Charlie Wilson because, see, Charlie Wilson blessed ain't biblical. Charlie Wilson blessed ain't biblical blessed. Okay? It's worldly blessed. You got to be careful, and sometimes, you know, you got to look at a song and understand what's going into your system, because you ain't nobody blessed like this in the Bible. Okay? The Bible said, blessed are the Pure in heart. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. Ask me how I'm doing. I'm blessed. Living every moment. No regrets. Smile on my face. Oh, like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Living every moment. No regrets. Who living like that? Clemens, you living like that? Waking up, thanking God every day, feeling like Sunday. Wifey by my side. Green light. Everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dream. Just left the Bible, barber, and feeling like Midas. Come on, man. How'd that line up with the whole with Amazing Grace or Blessed Assurance or any of those great hymns? Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord above. And if you're wondering why I'm loving life, come close and I'll tell you why. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Playing cards, laughing hard, barbecuing, walking up the block, waking up the whole block. Music loud, turning up, fill the keys, breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. Oh, I got to say it, I won't change. You're the reason I'm like this. And ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord above. And if you're wondering why, I'm loving life. Hey. Hey, Charlie. That ain't real. Rita ain't singing that song. Rita, you living every moment, no regrets? Listen, folks. I really don't. I just threw it out there. I really don't want to answer because nobody got an answer. See, here's a blessed man. Here's a blessed man. I'm going to give you some qualities of a blessed man. I'm going to let y'all go home. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Lord, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do he meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. I meditate on it. What do you mean by meditating on it? Well, listen, when I got situations in my life, sometimes I can't process them. So I take the word of God and say, Lord God, you teach me how to deal with this situation. Where in your word show me how to deal with this? Because I know I ain't going through this. I know I'm not the only one going through this. So you can find somebody in the word of God that can line up with what you're going through. The blessed man. You see what I mean? Five or six qualities of a blessed man. So when somebody tell you they blessed, they go, well, this is what the pastor says. Your kind of blessing ain't biblical blessing. Listen. The first thing you ought to hear when somebody say they ain't blessed, they say, okay, let me see your relationship. Because the blessed man understands where the blessings come from, and the blessed man, because he understands where the blessings come from, loves the blesser. Loves the blesser. Loves the blesser. Somebody wrote something I read. He said, are there any faithful men? Yeah, there are plenty of them. They faithful. Faithful to politics. Faithful to their sports team. Faithful to their causes. Faithful to stuff. There's a lot. A world full of faithful men. Okay? You turn on that TV and you'll see faithful men. Okay? Painted all up in the, out there in the cold, 20 below zero. Faithful. Faithful. Yeah, yeah. I was listening to the new Browns coach, and they was introducing him, and they was talking about it. He said, this man has dedicated his entire life. All this man thinks about is football and coaching. Woo! Okay? Now, what side do you think he's going to be on? Here's a verse. I'm going to give you all verses, and I'm just going to let you all have it. Here's a verse talking about relationship. Because I want you all to have a relationship. He said, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The man, the blessed man is a son of God. The blessed man is a son of God. Watch this now. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Really? Are you? Remember Nicodemus came to the Lord? When did he come? Come at night. He come at night. Some people say he came sneaking. He didn't want to be seen. He didn't want nobody to know that he was even interested in the things of God. Ain't we getting like that? Ain't we getting like that anymore? We don't want, you know, we talk to people and we go hee-haw all around. We don't want nobody to know we in a relationship. Let me tell you something. If you don't want nobody to know your relationship, God gonna judge you by it. Amen. Nicodemus came to Jesus with all these questions, and Jesus said, you know what you need? You need to be in a relationship with me. That's what he said. He didn't say it like I said it. Watch this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be
born again.
Except you be born again. Except you be born again. Watch this now. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot be in a relationship with Jesus with that old nature. Amen. You need a new nature. If you're going to be in a relationship with God, you need a new nature. Amen. You need a new nature. You can't come with God with that raggedy stuff. And we can dress it all up. We can go to the gym and work it all out. And we got a six pack and we work it out. We flexing. We shooting all kind of shots. And I'm beautiful. And in God's eyes, you're nasty. Okay? And you may be Miss Fitness America or Mr. America. And you done worked on every muscle in your body. But God looks at the heart.
Amen.
God looks at the heart. Except a man be born from above, he cannot be in a relationship with me. What are we going to talk about? What are you and God going to talk about if you're not in a relationship with him? Think about it. Think about your closest friends. Y'all have a lot in common, or they wouldn't be your friends. Y'all wouldn't have nothing to talk about. Steve, you in our locker room, you talking to your coaches, y'all putting plays together, y'all talking about, because y'all have things in common. Now, what are we going to talk with God about? God, you know, have you read what Isaiah said? I ain't had a chance to read the Bible this week. I really ain't picked it up in a couple weeks and maybe a couple months. I got other things to do right now. I got stuff on me. I ain't got really the time to be studying the Bible and everything. What kind of relationship with Cindy and I have? I'll talk to her every day. What kind of relationship would you have with anybody you don't spend no time with? Think about it. Let me go a day without talking to Cindy. What's wrong with you? What you doing? I already know. Got to talk to her a couple times a day. 3-4 times. Call her from work. Channel, I got to call her. Because we got a relationship. And that relationship is based on us communicating. You want to talk about relationship failures? You want to know why a relationship fails? Stop communicating. Okay? You got one doing something a little silly, one doing something a little slick. Can't communicate because you can't talk. See, once you start lying and cheating, and now you can't communicate because you might. Got to shut your phone off when you're around your wife. Got to shut your phone off. Okay, keep your phone on because you don't know what might pop up on there. I know. She don't communicate. Let's talk about reconciliation. The blessed man has been reconciled. Y'all know, brought back together. How about that? The end of the conflict. You know what, before you got saved? Deacon Jeremy, before you got saved, you and God were at odds. Because you was God. You was a hound. I'm God. I'm calling shots. Right? Come on, man. Then you have to be reconciled. You can't get it. You had to recognize who you were.
Amen.
Okay? And then you had to let God be God. Let God be God. Okay? Let me give you the verse. Colossians 1 and 20. Because we was alienated from God. Aliens from God. That's what I remember. Some of y'all might not remember. Some of y'all might be so holy now that y'all got saved. Y'all don't remember stuff that you used to get into. That's so far behind. I don't remember drinking all that Jack Daniels. Me and Margaret ran together back in the bowling alley. So she ain't gonna tell you what I was into, and I ain't gonna tell her what she was into. But God. Come on, Margaret, say, but God, who's rich in mercy. Woo! And having Colossians 1:20, and having made peace, how? Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. Watch this now. Watch what Paul goes. And you, I can point at everybody and myself. Let's just say, if you point somebody, you got a 5 point at you. And you, here's Paul saying, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have been reconciled. How? Through the blood of the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he offered reconciliation to a lost world. And then somebody said, well, I didn't get it. He said, you got to get on your knees. Ask God, give me faith to believe. Give me faith to get that reconciliation, because I need it. Watch this now. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Oh, folks like to reprove Christians. Let me tell you something, folks. Once you get saved, you become, watch this now, unblameable. You can blame me for whatever you want to blame me for. Folks blame me for a whole lot of stuff, okay? I get blamed for a whole lot of stuff, all right? But guess what? I'm unblameable. I'm unblameable because whatever it is, God had already taken care of business on my behalf. I just point folks to Jesus. Listen, he washed me in his blood. Okay. He washed me. He saved me from my sin. The ones I did in the past, the ones I'm doing now, and the ones I'll do in the future. All I got to do is, Bible said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. That don't mean we go out here, well, you know, I'm just going to sin. And am I ask God to forgive me after I leave the strip club? So that ain't what he's talking about. Okay, we learned it today. There's satanic hazard zones and hazardous areas where the believer can slip into because we're not paying attention all the time. None of us always on board. Remember what I said? Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may defy. We may walk into some mess. Okay. Unintentionally, we can get into some mess. But we're not going to sit here and say, well, you know, I'm just going to go on a cruise with this girl, and after we're going to sin the whole time we're there, and then we cut off the boat, we're going to confess our sins. See, God will take a boat down just to get us. I'll be careful on them cruises. God might be mad at somebody. Jonah might be on one of them cruises. you got a preacher on the cruise undercover with his girl, and God may take the whole boat down to get the preacher. That don't make no sense, do it? Yes, it do. And we got to get this reconciliation thing. Reconcile us. God is bringing us back together. Okay? He's ending the conflict. And let me tell you something. When you live in sideways and you live in outside of God's will, you in conflict with God. You in conflict with God. And no more are you in conflict with God when you say, well, how you doing? I'm blessed. got a blunt in your hand and cussing and swearing like a sailor and cheating on your wife and doing all kind of crazy stuff. Somebody, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. Really? Who blessing you? See? How many of y'all heard it? Y'all hear people say, well, how you doing? I'm blessed. And you know they living like a absolute heathen thug. Satan blesses. Oh, goodness. Yes, Satan blesses. Told Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you bow down to me, if you bow down to me, I'll give you everything. I'll give you everything. Let me talk about this reconciliation. Because see, the man of God that's blessed is God's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. That's what I am. That's what you are. That's what Cindy is. Now, and even this week going through, I'm talking to Cindy about everything. I say, Cindy, now remember who you are now. And we are not mourn like those that have no hope. He didn't say don't mourn. He said don't mourn like you have no hope. There's a way that we have to mourn. Even when we all in mourn and mourn and mourn, there's a way we have to mourn. And that mourning is not designed to destroy us. Okay? There's a proper way to mourn. There's a biblical way to mourn. Okay? And sometimes you have to ask God, God, give me strength to mourn because this is bigger than me. Give me strength to mourn. Amen. Give me strength to mourn. Because you don't give me strength to mourn, I'm not going to be able to handle this. Amen. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's been reconciled. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God who have given unto us. Watch this now. The ministry of reconciliation. Okay? He's given that to us. Because we've been reconciled to him. He's given us the ability to reconcile to others. And with that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their rights, their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Now watch this now. Verse 20. Because we got the word of reconciliation in us. And now, what did God come to do? You talk to lost folks. You talk to lost folks. You talk to unsaved folks. You talk to people that know the Lord. And you hear all their problems. And you know what they need. You know what they need.
Amen.
Okay? They need the Lord. Two people can't stay married. It takes three. And Jesus Christ is the glue that keeps the marriages together.
Amen.
Okay? You take Christ out of my marriage and we got problems. Because somebody got to be God. And I'm going to be God. And Cindy ain't going to like it. Because I'm not going to be the God of the Bible. Can't be. You need a Savior. Okay? Watch this now. 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm at verse 20. This is interesting. He said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. That's a plea, that's a cry that we ought to have for our loved ones and people that we know that we run into and we listen to them. Listen, you need to be reconciled to Christ. Not only are we ambassadors, should we be ministers of reconciliation, not only should we be, I had to look back, we should be in a relationship with God, reconciled by God. Look at this fourth one. How many know that word illumination mean? Light up something. Turn on the lights and everything light up. Paul teaching in Ephesians 5 and 8 says, now are ye the light of the world. We the light of the world. And he's talking about biblical light. And there's some things biblical light don't do. See, nobody want to preach about sin no more. Cause, you know, if you preach about sin, you know, people gonna leave. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear. Listen, folks. People need to hear the word of God. Okay? Now in Ephesians 5, Paul's writing to these people. He's writing to these people. And remember, they killed Paul. Mm-hmm. See, when you sign up, I want to be a preacher. I talked to a young man, and I want to be a preacher. You ready to die? I want to be. You know, some people want to be preacher because they want to be famous. They preacher now, you want to make a lot of money, and you get a pastor anniversary every year, and you get the tithes money, and you get money, and listen, that ain't what preaching all about. Amen. You got to preach the word.
Amen.
You got to preach the word, and folks scared. They're full scared because they look over there and say, well, if I, you know, that's a big giver over there. And there's a fornicator over there. There's a adulterer over there. There's a drug addict over there. I know he's selling drugs. What am I going to preach? I got a homosexual and an organ player. And my choir director is gay. And what am I going to preach? If I preach, everybody's going to leave. They're going to go to the Apostles Church down the corner. And he let everybody in. I can't preach this. I don't want my head cut off like Paul. I need my money. Get a job, preacher.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. Paul writing to this church. He says, hey, he ain't care. Remember Paul when he was on Damascus Road and he met Ananias, and Ananias said, listen, I don't want nothing to do with Paul. I heard terrible things about Paul. And God said to Ananias, he said, Ananias, this man is gonna suffer greatly from me. He's a chosen vessel of mine, and just do what I say, and Ananias did what he said, and Paul knew he was gonna suffer. Folks, now preachers don't suffer. I'm like, how you preaching and not suffering? That don't make no sense. Clemens, it don't make no sense. Everybody preached, got died in the Bible. They killed all 12 apostles except John. They sent him to the Isle of Patmos to die. All the prophets got their heads cut off, sewn in half. The Bible says you killed all the prophets. Now, how are you preaching the same Bible and not dying? I got 2,000 members. How you got 2,000 members preaching the gospel when Jesus only had 12. Mm-hmm. That don't make no sense. I look around, I see my 12. I'm like, yeah, I'm right. I'm closer to Jesus. 120. Jesus had a big old crowd following him. And he turned, and John 6 said he turned and said, he recognized that y'all follow me for the wrong reasons. And he said, if you're going to follow me, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, that's a hard saying. And they turned and followed him no more. And then what did he do? The Bible says he turned to the 12 and said, what y'all going to do? He said, y'all going to leave too? And Peter said, no, we're not going to go nowhere because thou hast the words of eternal life.
Amen.
And you know what the preachers are doing today? They turn, they see all the homosexuals following them, all the gays, all the LGBT, all the abortion rights people following them, and they say, keep on coming, keep on bringing that money in, Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger. I'm not going to offend you at all. And they got big crowds. You walk in there, you got big crowds. Big crowds. And if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't know where you was at. When they open the doors to dismiss you, stand outside of the average church, you wouldn't know where you was at. You'd think you was at the club. Here's Paul. Let Paul go down to Joel Osteen's church and preach. Say, it's Joel Osteen. Paul, the apostle Paul, has raised from the dead. He's going to come to your church and preach. No, don't bring him, because he's going to preach all my people out. Here's Paul. I did a lot to get to this verse. Here's Paul in Ephesians 5. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. That empty out half the church. Neither filthiness nor foolish just talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. That's another 1,000 leaving. For this we know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, when he says a whoremonger and a covetous man, he won't have nobody to preach. See how he even whittled this church down to 12 people. Let no man deceive you. Paul preaching now. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you. with vain words, empty words.
Empty words.
You can go to heaven gay. You can go to heaven any kind of way. It don't matter. Everybody get to go. Listen, don't let no man. I want to say woman, but I don't believe in women preachers, so I ain't going to say let no man or no woman. Because no woman should be preaching. That empty out the rest of the church. Y'all want a big crowd. All I got to do is go on Facebook and say, I'm looking for a woman preacher. And to give the criteria, a woman preacher must be charismatic, must speak in tongues, and, you know, must be beautiful. And then my page will blow up. And they'll be all up here. Lap skirts and mini skirts, shaking their stuff. Fighting to get in the pulpit. They be fighting to break down the door. Y'all know it's true, too. Y'all want a big crowd? Come on, y'all know a big crowd. I'm going to bury all the rest of y'all, and we're going to close the church down. Because I said, hey, listen, I'm just going to keep it 100. As long as I'm here, I ain't having no hoochie mamas up in here. Y'all can vote me out. I ain't going to put up a fight. No, you ain't got to call the police or nothing. Listen, you ain't got to call the police or nothing to get me out of the church. Just tell me, say, Pastor, look, we had a meeting. We decided we want to go another way. You know, we want a musician, but all them homosexuals, and you know you don't like homosexuals, and we want the choir stand. We got a beautiful music director say here, come if y'all get me out of here. And anyway, and listen, I'm not gonna fight, man. Cindy, listen, we just you know, get my little stuff out of the office and I'll be gone. You ain't gotta call the police. Don't call the FBI and all that. Don't be doing like y'all they did Roger Stone, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, knocking on my door. Say, hey, I have one last request. One last request. If y'all put me out, let me know when Rita make that potato salad. It's like come and get some of that potato salad every once in a while. I said, well, watch this now. Look what Paul says. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. See? You can't mix up with everybody. You know, everybody welcome. They open the doors of the church, open. Everybody welcome. No, everybody ain't welcome. This is a house of God. This is a place where holy people meet. This is a place where holy people meet. No, you shouldn't have no, you know, anybody can't come up in here. For watch this there, Paul, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of life. Walk as children of light. Walk like God is watching you. Walk like God is with you. Talk like God is with you. Sing like God is with you. And don't go nowhere that you won't take God. Listen, think about it. If God can't come with me, I can't go.
Amen. Amen.
See, we quick to now, you know, we have a party, no kids. And we ought to have a party, no devils. We don't want to bring the kids. No kids allowed. No devils allowed in here. For the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to God. I know. Listen. I can talk about being light all day because God's word talks about us being light. In Philippians 2:15, one verse he says this, be ye that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse world, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How many know we live in a crooked and perverse world? Okay. We live in a crooked and perverse world. And somebody say, well, the crooked is on the right and the perverse is on the left. Whatever. Choose your poison. Amen. Okay? But you won't deny God's word. We live in a crooked and perverse world. And God has called the church to shine as lights in a dark place. Let me tell you something. When your church is full of crooked folks and perverse folks, you ain't shining. Amen. Okay? Y'all might not think we shining. Y'all might say, well, you know, you preaching all the women away, all the women leaving, they taking their husband with them. Listen, 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 let me tell you something. If a woman can take their husband away, okay? Y'all can finish that. Okay? Because see, every man that left here, every man that has left this church has left because their wife didn't want to be here. Well, you know, my wife is a wonderful speaker. She's a wonderful speaker. Well, she can speak wonderfully somewhere else. Okay? And I had a couple of them. My wife wants to be a preacher. She wants to be a minister. Well, why you choose this church? They'd love to have you over there. You go right over there to Union Baptist on Friendship. They got 15, 20 women in the pulpit. Well, I can do it all. Y'all don't think I can. I can do it all. Know why? Because God has equipped me to do this. He said, well, you know, you teach a Sunday school Wednesday night and preaching on Sunday. And I preach 3 times a week at the prison. I preach all the time. That's what, if God called a man to be a preacher, what all he be doing? Preaching all the time. You know, well, I ain't got nothing else to do. He done took my golf clubs away, my bowling ball. I ain't got nothing else to do but preach. He said, man, I want you to be a preacher. Okay, I ain't got time to be down there protesting, you know, young thugs getting their heads blown off and robbing banks. I ain't got time for that. I got a piece of Black Lives Matter. They matter. All lives matter to me. Amen. I want to preach the gospel. Ain't nothing wrong with dying. We all leaving here. Amen. Some leave young, some leave old. Guess what? We ain't got but a few miles to go. Steve, we ain't got but a few steps to go, bro. Okay? Y'all sitting up here thinking y'all going to live to be Plant's age. Ain't guaranteed. Listen, we're getting up out of here. And we ain't got but a few steps to go. The only thing be like we going to live to be another 50 years. 50 years, this church be empty. Who will be here 50 years? Kerry Beats, 83. Oh, Lord, let me get out of here. I'm in trouble today. See, I'm blaming all this on my brother-in-law because he bring out this. He bring the worst out of me. Let's talk about emancipation. Ain't nothing like talking about emancipation because, you know, we got Black History Month coming up and we Negroes been emancipated. You know, we free. We free. See, I'd rather be in slavery saved than to be free unsaved.
Oh, come on, man.
You know, we done got free. We done got free. We don't even eat chitlins no more. We so free, we don't even eat, you know, now we don't even eat pork. I don't eat pork. I don't eat chitlins. You know, Negro, please. I don't eat. You so emancipated. You so free, you don't even eat pork no more. Listen, let me tell you something. You better worry about this emancipation. Okay? Being free from the slavery of sin. There's going to be a whole lot of slaves in heaven. Okay? See, it ain't always good to be free from something if it don't lead you to Christ. Okay? A lot of them slaves, because they was in slavery, because they was in difficult times. The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Okay? And all who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer. See the word of faith in the fake false church tell you today. Listen, if you're suffering, if you're going through, if you got a cold, if you ain't driving a new car, it's because you don't have enough faith. Let me tell you something, that's a lie from the hell. That's a lie from the pits of hell, okay? Because the word of God said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You start living right. You sit here and say, you know what? I'm changing. I'm giving my life to the Lord, and all hell coming at you. Okay? Yeah. Got to. It's got to. See, we don't like to hear it like that. Listen, let me give you a scripture. Here's Paul. Right in Romans 6 in verse 20. Now watch this. Paul said, and for when we were servants of sin. Y'all know what a servant of sin is? Okay? We were servants of sin. We served sins. Servant mean ministers and deacons. Satan has a church. It's a false church. And within that false church, he has deacons and ministers. And this is what Paul is saying here. For when we were servants of sins, ye were free from righteousness. In Satan's church, you didn't have to do no wrong. I mean, you didn't have to live right. Okay? You know, nobody preaching to you, telling you you shouldn't be a fornicator and you shouldn't be an adulterer or you shouldn't be a homosexual. Because you're in a Satan church. When you look over and you see a homosexual on the piano and a homosexual directing the choir and homosexual ushers and adulterous men in the church and pastors who are fornicators and adulterers, you know you're in Satan's church.
Amen.
Yes. Now, you only got 15 members. You're going to lose 5 today. No. Listen, folks. If your pastor is a fornicator and adulterer, the organ player is a homosexual, the choir player is gay, the mind ministry person is sissies, and everybody else is in there drunks and using drugs and going to casinos and gambling, you ain't say church. This is just come on, Margaret. Yeah, ain't no folks that are supposed to call me. It ain't that. Well, you know, gambling ain't a sin. Okay. Well, if it ain't a sin, give me all my money I lost when I was out there serving Satan. Give it all back. I'm going to tell you something. I'll be driving that Lexus. Okay. When the gambling had me, and I get there and I go, I would disguise it as, oh, we going on a bowling trip with the bowling league. But we happen to be going to Las Vegas to bowl. I wasn't out there 24 hours. I called home. The hardest phone call I ever made. I said, Cindy, I'm broke. Send me some money. And Cindy, she just squeezed 2 nickels and set a fire. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. I didn't know the box, but I found out that the ATM machines would only give you $200 a day. I hit that machine and said, well, you've got your limit for the day. And I said, well, I ain't got no more money. I'm out here in Las Vegas. I said, oh, Lord have mercy. So you see, people say, well, gambling is addiction. It's like pornography, just like drinking, just like whatever. You name it. But we can't preach against it because, you know, all folks like to gamble. Don't nobody here like to gamble. At least they ain't hitting. Ain't nobody hitting that offering ain't went up, you know. So I know I ain't got no gamblers in here. Listen, folks. For when we were servants of sin, ye were free. Free from righteousness. Jeremy, does that make sense? I got all this stuff going on in the church. I walk in here and I got all these women, hoochie mamas, they got all this tight stuff on and cleavage is all out. And I'm sitting here like, what is this? I got sissies over here and sissies over here. I got a preacher that everybody know he hitting on all the women in the church and everybody having a good time. And praise the Lord, we gonna have a good time. I'm sitting here like, this ain't church. For what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Shamed. Mm-hmm. Listen, I got some stuff that I did. When I was a servant for sin, when God saved me, I'm ashamed of. Amen. I'm ashamed of. Y'all know I got clothes in my closet, suits that I won't even wear to church because when I wore them, I wasn't right. I can still fit them too. And I look at them, I say, oh, I remember. I can't wear that. I can't wear that. I see preachers coming to church in shorts. Onion skin shorts. I'm sitting here. See, I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, bruh, you need some clothes on, bruh. Teaching Bible study in shorts. Ah, come on, man. right, I'm staying focused. Now being made free from sin. Come on. How was we made free from sin? How was we made free from sin? We was made free from sin by what Jesus Christ done on Calvary. We was made free from sin. Listen. See, some people say, he was born. You know, he was born this way. He was born this way. Let me tell you something. I don't care how you was born. You was born a sinner. And I don't care what your sin is. You was born a sinner, and God's work on Calvary is designed to set you free from sin. No matter what the sin is. Don't tell me I need a different message. Well, you need a different message for the drunk. You need a different message for the fornicator. You need a different message for the LGBTQ guy. Listen, same message. Amen. Same message. Saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Ain't no different message. The pedophile need to hear the same message. As the adulterer, as the fornicator, as the gay guy. Okay, same message. I can't dress this up. Plus, I didn't come to you with man's wisdom or enticing words of man's wisdom. I preach a word. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That don't get you. Nothing will.
Amen.
See, you have your fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. Let me. I'm not going to get through all these. Let me look at them and find out which one I want to cover. And I'm close with, and maybe I may do the rest of them next week. Listen, I get carried away. I know I do. But I'm talking about this blessed man. This blessed woman, tell you I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Let me give you this last one. There's a nearness to God. When somebody tell you they blessed, I want y'all to remember this from this service. You don't remember nothing else. If somebody say they blessed, look for that nearness. Look for that closeness, that intimacy with God. If not, they Charlie Wilson blessed. If they Charlie Wilson blessed, you're not going to see no intimacy with God. You're not going to see Jesus' name mentioned. You're not going to see Jesus worship and praise. The music going to be worldly and entertaining. But with the child of God who's truly blessed, there's going to be a nearness, a close proximity with God. He's going to be close to God. Now watch this. Watch the word of God, say, Ephesians 2:13. He said, now in Christ Jesus. Watch this now. Are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. Listen, that's it. When we get saved, when we blessed to be saved, there's going to be a closeness to God. There's going to be a closeness to God, okay? There's going to be a, Cindy and I have a closeness because we have a covenant relationship. We have a closeness, okay? Every time I walk by, I touch her. I touch something. Just do. God want her to know I'm near. I'm near. She know. I'm near. As far as I'm going to go with that. See over that wicked laugh. We are near than angels. For in the person of God, Son, are as near as me. We are so close. That blessed person is close to God. Remember the song? I'm not going to sing it. I like reading these songs. I like reading these old songs. I'm close with this. Jesus, y'all know this. Keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's Barden Mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with his shadows over me. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the message of Jesus Christ, him crucified. Father God, thank you for being a holy God, a righteous God. A God that can save anybody. A God that can save anybody. They're saying there's power in the blood, but is there really? Yes, it is. There's power in the blood, his healing blood. Father, we ask right now that you would just continue to work on the hearts of your people. Father, speak to the churches, all the churches. Speak to the false church, speak to the real church. Father God, we need to get right with you. We need to get right with you. We pray everything in